Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12-year NFL veteran, former offensive lineman for Dallas, Indy, and Philadelphia, Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network here on 92.3 The Fan. Brian, thanks for taking a couple minutes.
Well, it's good to join you guys, man. How are things in Cleveland today?
84 degrees and sunny, baby.
All right. A little sunshine, a little summer for you. Good job.
Cavaliers swept the Toronto Raptors, yep. Got a week off. Things are good, Baldy.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron looked like he wanted to get the broomsticks out the other night and get done with it so he could get himself a little bit of rest and get ready for the championship.
Well, Baldy, you're in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Your boy's going to make a comeback?
Yeah, they'll win tonight in Boston.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a lot of fight left. They got a couple more cards to play, too.
I like that. They're a better team, aren't they?
Well, they have did that thing down their leg.
Yeah, first three games, for sure.
Game three. Yeah. So, I mean, I looked up on the screen on Thursday night. They were up 26, and they did that thing down their leg.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they they're a little upset with themselves. I think you'll see a pretty good effort tonight.
Yeah, and you got the T.J. McConnell game, which is all sorts of fun. Brian, you know, we've been talking a lot about Big Ben and Mason Rudolph, and you see it in Baltimore as well with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson and that tenuous relationship. And it brings me to Tyrod Taylor and what's going on here with Baker Mayfield and the idea that these quarterbacks are supposed to usher in these other guys to take their jobs. Baldy, I just can't get along with that notion. In my eyes, I look at somebody trying to take my gig. I'm not helping them out.
I'm with you. I don't think that's any place for him. I mean, Brett Favre didn't do it for Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if they talked to each other the first year. Nobody wants to be threatened. I think they like to compete, but they don't want to have to look over their shoulders. And, you know, Joe Flacco and Tyrod Taylor, they've all figured it out on their own at some point. And it's up to Mason Rudolph and Baker and those guys to kind of figure it out on their own. And I'm sure they don't want to necessarily be told how to do things. I mean, there's a rite of passage in this business, and you want a team atmosphere, but to think that everybody's just going to get along and help each other out, I think that's crazy.
Brian Baldinger is our guest, NFL Network, of course, does a lot of – you're everywhere, Baldy, so you have a million jobs. But you do some Big 12 games, right?
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of Big 12 games.
And
I do them every Saturday.
So you've seen a lot of Baker Mayfield, I'm sure, throughout, you know, calling some of these games.
I've seen games of his back going all the way back to Texas Tech.
There we go. So what do you think about the pick?
Well, I thought he was the best quarterback in this draft. He was my favorite quarterback. But I was a little biased. Like I said, I've done his games. I've been around him a little bit. And so I'm a little biased. I see the competitive fire. I see the accuracy. I mean, just the incredible accuracy and, you know, the whole package. So I see that more than I saw Darnold or Rosen or, you know, Allen or, you know, Lamar. So I feel like I'm biased, but I thought he was the best quarterback. But it's interesting, you know, for whatever reason, I was, you know, just trying to fill time here in May. I went back and watched all 28 Cleveland Brown interceptions last year. I watched all 50 sacks. It was hard to watch, but I watched it. And I didn't see – you just don't see Baker getting hit like those quarterbacks at Cleveland got hit, you know. And you don't see the drop passes that you see in Cleveland and the bad routes and some of the mysterious play calling, you know, in some down decisions. So you see all of it and you go, okay, you're going to put this rookie in there with this without Joe Thomas at left tackle, and which seems to be a big hole to me. It doesn't seem to be to a lot of other people that think they know better. But and you go, can he be as good as he was at Oklahoma? And I go, he's no way. So, well, I think it's going to be a fun competition, and I believe that Baker's going to get on the field this year. It is going to be night and day difference from what he did at Oklahoma.
Joined by Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network, NFL Total Access. So you say that you believe Baker will see the field at some point. Now, historically, over the past 5 years, even just in the most recent draft, you see guys get on. Patrick Mahomes got on. Deshaun Watson got on the field. Mitch Trubisky got on the field. These guys are seeing time more than ever as soon as possible to enter. What do you think if you're the Browns? Do you think Baker Mayfield sees after week 11 with the bye? Do you think he has a chance to win it out of training camp? What do you think the perception is there?
Well, you know, every situation is different. It'd be impossible to predict. You know, in every one of those cases, you know, whether it was Mahomes, I mean, he didn't see the field until week 17 against Denver, when they had basically, you know, nothing to play for that week. Mm-hmm. And he played really well. Trubisky, you know, he just, you know, he won the battle in training camp, and they were ready to move on. And, you know, they have a new coaching staff as a result, because it's hard to win games when you're trying to develop a rookie quarterback. So, I mean, you know, Carson Wentz, yeah, he started week one, but it was all Sam Bradford, and then it took a, you know, an injury, you know, to Teddy up in Minnesota to get that trade, to get Carson on the field. So you can have all of the plans you want about how you want to do it, but you just don't know. And then, you know, is Hugh Jackson, does he have a plan? What is the plan for Baker? Is he going to split reps? Is it Tyrod's team? What are you going to do in training camp? What are you doing in these four preseason games? You're going to let him play with the number one offensive line, number one offense? I mean, there's just so many. Does Tyrod get hurt? You know, does Baker get hurt? I mean, there's just so many factors that you can't predict here on May 8th or 9th, whatever it is, you know, and try to project throughout the season.
You know, our morning show today got into a huge debate about Baker's height and how it's going to be this huge problem for him. And, you know, I happen to not think it's going to be a big problem, especially considering guys who've been shorter have had success in the league. And, you know, obviously Baker has always been, you know, 6 feet tall and played at such a high level. What would you argue when it comes to the height argument?
Well, I saw Josh Rosen get a whole lot more passes batted down to line of scrimmage mm-hmm. than Baker Mayfield ever did. Different offenses. But I just don't see passes getting batted down. Now, you also don't see collapsing pockets where, you know, if you think you're just going to keep escaping, you know, the first time that there's color shown, then you're not going to play the position the proper way. But it is a lot easier to see over the trees than through the trees, but some guys just have a knack for it. I mean, he started over 40 games in his career, and I just don't see. I've watched almost all of his games at some point or another over the last couple of years, and you just don't see passes getting batted down. That would be the number one thing you'd see with a quarterback that is under 6'1", but you just don't see it. And you also see him like a lot like Drew Brees. I mean, he throws a lot of passes up on his toes, fully extended. He doesn't shrink in the pocket. You notice guys that are 6'5" that shrink in the pocket when they see it collapsing, and they might as well be 6'1". You know, Tyrod Taylor, I want to see him standing back to back. Who's taller? I mean, they're probably pretty similar. So I'm not buying into the argument just the height. I mean, there are benefits, obviously, to being Brady and 6'6" and being slow. You had to learn to beat teams from the pocket. Baker's got, you know, he's got a full throttle, and he's a human joystick back there. His movement, it almost looks frenetic. It is frenetic. And now, I don't know how he can keep his eyes down the field and see as much as he sees like that, but he has a learned skill that not many players ever acquire.
How important was it for John Dorsey to get a quarterback then, and Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, that are very similar in height and size and should be able to transition one from the other pretty fluid?
I don't think that was an issue for John. I think John was just trying to find the best quarterback in the draft. And I think he did his diligence. He did a good job of keeping it close to his, you know, just close to his own chest and, you know, not letting it out even amongst his own coaches. I think he was just looking for the best player. And if he was 6'5", then that's what he was. And if he was elusive, being able to escape the pocket the way Tyrod Taylor always has been, then that's what he is. But I think he's just looking for the best player, not necessarily a guy that complemented or had similar skill sets as Tyrod Taylor.
Brian, I know you did a sit-down interview recently, a little film room breakdown with Joe Thomas, who has since retired. I saw you tweet about it the other day. How tough is it going to be to replace Joe Thomas? The Browns draft this kid, Austin Corbett, out of Nevada, who a lot of people project to be a guard, but he's going to get a shot to play left tackle. That's a huge hole, man.
I tell you what, I played the position for 12 years. I've been talking about it for the last 25 years. I learned, you know, in 2.5 hours with Joe Thomas, I learned as much about offensive line play as I've learned from anybody, including a lot of really good coaches. The guy is an absolute, to say perfectionist sells it short. To say he's a surgeon sells it short. I mean, the level of detail and encompassing everything from the officiating to who's playing next to him to the opponent to having a book in every pass rusher that he played against, you can't replace him. 10,363 consecutive snaps on a team that, you know, was going nowhere for much of those snaps. And the level of excellence that he played at, that he, and the reason why he retired, he doesn't think he could continue that, is it's going to be impossible to replace. Now, Austin Corbett, I like big Corbs. He's a good player. I don't know if he could play left tackle in the NFL. I mean, Joel Bitonio played that position at Nevada, and they moved him right into guard. And he's been a good player at guard. And him and Joe were a good left side. If they could have kept Alex Mack and a bunch of other guys, you know, maybe the Browns aren't picking number one. But anyways, I think it's going to be hard, really hard, because I think at some point you just take Joe for granted. You just do. When the guy just is there every single Sunday and every single Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, he's there every single day, you do take him for granted and that level of play for granted. And as bad as Cleveland was last year, when he was in there for those 10-plus games last year, they were rock solid at left tackle.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brian Baldinger joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. There was an interesting pick by John Dorsey this recent draft. Mm-hmm. Antonio Callaway, who checks off the bingo card of things you don't want to have happen in your college career, whether that was the credit card theft, whether that was the sexual allegation charge. There was a lot that came with the baggage out of the Florida wide receiver. When you're trying to build up a culture like the Browns are, if you're John Dorsey, who historically has taken chances, Tyreek Hill, Marcus Peters, would you have gone that route, Brian?
Well, it always comes down to, does the talent supersede the infractions? Because we're talking about more than one infraction. They took the chance with Tyreek Hill, and it has worked out for Kansas City. He's become a dynamic player. I saw him at Oklahoma State before he was kicked off the team, and he was dynamic, and he has been. Josh Gordon is still on the roster after all of those failures of his. He's still there. They are look like they're in the business of giving second and third chances to players, and they've got to really fail before they're done with them. And so Callaway's going to get a chance. And look, if he screws up, I'm sure he's on a short lease. I'm sure there's going to be zero tolerance. I'm sure it has been said to him and to his agent and to all other, you know, people associated. But it has worked out for some teams and some players. The Philadelphia Eagles would not have taken Antonio Callaway. They're just not in that business. But every team is a little bit different. And I believe in second and third chances for a lot of these kids, because that's who they are. And that's what John Dorsey has done.
Finally, for me, Brian Baldinger is our guest. Brian, Browns take Denzel Ward at 4 over Bradley Chubb. Had me scratching my head a little bit. Not that they, you know, I think Ward's a really good player, but man, 4 seems high for him. But who knows? Did it surprise you?
Yeah, it did. It did surprise me. I mean, I like bigger people. Nothing against Denzel Ward. He's not going to grow anymore. He is what he is. But I think Bradley Chubb would have fit really nice opposite Myles Garrett, not to take anything away from Ogba or Nassib or the other guys that have played out there opposite Garrett. But I'd like to have seen Chubb there. I like building my defensive line as big and strong as you can. I think that's what Greg Williams maybe would have preferred. But they need corners. And so Denzel Ward, I mean, he can be what Marshawn Lattimore was in New Orleans last year. Marshawn Lattimore was the single biggest addition to that defense and why they became a top 10 defense a year ago.
Brian Baldinger, we appreciate the time as always. You know, you have the Dallas part on your resume. I don't know why they called Jason Witten. They should have just called you for the Monday Night Football gig.
Well, he has a little bit more star power at this point, so I wish Jason well, man.
That was very kind words for Jason Witten. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Yeah. Brian Baldinger, we appreciate the time.
Okay, guys.
Thanks so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.